So if you're in sales, my guess is that you send out a ton of sales emails. Now, when you do a lot of something, like send out a ton of sales emails, it becomes kind of like something you can do in your sleep, right? Automatic, where you kind of just even stop thinking about it. You just do it so many times, it's almost like a reflex. You just don't even think about it anymore. So today we're going to talk about things that dramatically impact the success of a sales email that you probably haven't thought about. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin, I have a freebie for you, and I'm hoping you take full advantage of it. And really what this has to do with, if you've been enjoying these podcasts, or perhaps it's your first visit here, and you're saying, man, I'm liking this like 17 seconds into Castain's podcast, and I want access to more, because I've been doing these podcasts now since 2010, I have, I think it's like over 220 episodes. And in addition to that, I probably have another 80, 90 quick tips that I've recorded. If you'd like access to like all of those, to like going all the way back to the beginning of time, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/app. yoursalesplaybook.com/app. The other reason why I want you to visit there is because if you go through the simple steps that I have there, you'll never miss one of these episodes again. And the really cool thing is not only do you have access to like 300 absolutely free audio sales lessons, I update these audio sales lessons at a rate of about 3 to 4 each and every month. So I'm pretty much doing it every single week. So if you don't want to miss a beat, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/app. And you guys know how I like to roll, being that I'm like from New York, and I have very little patience with people who do podcasts and like to dick around 15 minutes of the 20 minutes that they're like offering you a podcast. I say we get right down to business. So today what we're talking about are some things that dramatically impact the success of a sales email that you're probably not thinking about. And I have 4 things. They're very simple that you need to think about. All right, so you ready? Item number 1. There's something that we do, hopefully, when we pick up a phone that I can tell you 99.9% of the like sales reps I've met are not doing. And it's pre-call planning. Now, there's 2 portions of the pre-call planning that we're going to talk about very, very quickly. We're going to talk about research and specifically how to do it without like sucking up all your time, because that's probably why you're not doing a lot of research, if like at all, when you send an email, right? Like, who the hell has time to like be full-time researching everybody? So we're going to talk about that, and then we're also going to talk about the objective of the email. So very quickly, a really cool thing that you can do, it's called the 3x3 rule when it comes to pre-call planning research, the 3x3 rule. And I can't take any credit for this. This is something that I have like ripped off of, I believe the guy's name is Steve Richards. I believe it's Steve Richard. And he's the one that came up with this. Now, what you're going to do before you pick up a phone or before you send out that email is you're going to embrace the 3x3 rule. The first 3 in that rule is that you're going to set a timer for 3 minutes. Why would you possibly complicate this shit by setting a timer for 3 minutes? Why? So that you don't like get sucked into the research vortex, right? Isn't that easy to do? And let's be honest. I mean, how many times have we had good intentions with research? And next thing you know, man, we're like researching everything. And then next thing you know, you're on like a fantasy football like site. And it's like, how the hell did I get here? So That's why we set it like for 3 minutes, because that's almost like somebody putting a lifeline on you before you go into that like black hole and you don't get sucked into. They can pull you back. So you're going to spend 3 minutes researching, and now the second three comes in with the goal of trying to find three things that would be useful for you that you might be able to leverage in order to send a more meaningful email. So now, right about now, the criticism that's kind of like thrown at this theory of the 3x3 rule is 3 minutes is not enough. And I cry bullshit to everybody else crying bullshit on this one. I think 3 minutes is fine. And here's why. Unless you are an absolutely like incredible freaking prospecting rock star, you are not going to pick up the phone or send an email every time and secure a sale. This is going to be one of many. So the whole point here is if, like, every time you embrace one more of the many touches you're going to have to do, you spend 3 minutes. Look how that adds up. I mean, think about how long You usually will embrace and engage a potential client before they before you even get an appointment. So if each time you're spending 3 minutes, it's great, because now each time you're being very concentrated and you're just focusing on the task at hand. You're not getting involved in all kinds of like interruptions and then going to that fantasy football site or the porn site or whatever the hell else you like wind up on. We're focusing on the research. Now, the other part of this is this, that obviously when you secure an appointment, you're not going to spend 3 minutes on research. It then at that point deserves a lot more. This is a nice little system to keep you from spending all this time researching people that haven't even haven't even spoken with you yet. And yeah, it's just a much better way. Now, the final criticism that I hear is that people say, yeah, but I won't have as much time to make as many calls. But you know, who gives a shit about how many calls you make at that point? Because you're going to have more meaningful calls. So what I'm really proposing here is less calls, but more targeted calls. And because we're embracing the 3x3 rule, we're not getting involved in what I call an avoidance activity. An avoidance activity is something that you're doing at length to avoid something that you really don't want to do. And let's face it, there's a lot of people in sales that just are not like feeling really good about hunting for business or maybe sending emails or picking up a phone or whatever. So the 3x3 rule keeps us on point. So that's the first thing. You're going to spend 3 minutes for each one of them each time, and with the goal of finding three things that you can leverage. Now, the next thing that you're going to do is you need to know, what's my objective with this email? And, you know, like, what do I want the recipient to do as a result of my email? So right about now, there are many people that say, well, Doug Castain, I want them to buy stuff. But to that, I say, no. Duh to you, sir, my good sir. Duh. Because, of course, you want them to effing buy your stuff. But do you really need to become a pain in the ass about it? And every interaction, it's like, hi, buy my shit. Hi, buy my shit. Hi, buy my shit. Hey, following up, are you going to buy my shit? Hey, circling back, are you going to buy my shit? That becomes old real fast. And guess what? You are conditioning the recipient to disregard you and delete you. So, of course, we want to ultimately get in front of them. Of course, we want to ultimately have them buy our, and I'm not going to say shit any more times, even though I just did, buy our stuff. See? Look, there's hope for me. I'm cleaning it up. You, of course you do. But we have to, like, have a bit of a courtship with them first. So, you really need to think about, what are the objectives? I mean, sometimes my objective is to build credibility and rapport with you. Sometimes it's to demonstrate my expertise. Sometimes it's to engage you in more of a dialogue than a one-sided sales pitch or whatever. And as part of that kind of objective, if you will, I'm also thinking about, okay, so, you know, if I know my objective is A, B, and C, or just A, you know, what's going to be the flavor of my email? So instead of it always being salesy, which I don't think there's anything wrong in that. I mean, I've noticed there's a lot of people, like over on LinkedIn, it's like, God forbid you try to sell something. It's like, you know, like you just went into like a church and you dropped an F-bomb. I mean, people are just really getting bent out of shape about that. Or you should never be selling. You should be helping. Yeah, I got news for you. That shit isn't practical for me. Because if I'm always helping, I'm going to attract a lot of freeloaders and they're going to think like, you know, like I'm a not-for-profit here or something. I'm not, man. I got to put food on the table. And Uncle Paul is not a skinny guy, man. I got to feed this belly. So, you know, like I think there's got to be a little bit of a mix here. So some of my, like some flavors for you to consider, never mind about me, but sometimes it might be simply sending a resource to them that's helpful. Other times it might be, hey, here's a no strings attached idea. I was thinking of you. Maybe it's, you know, an introduction to someone who could help them, who could become their client or a resource for them. Other times, maybe you're inviting them to a local event, maybe an event you guys are hosting or a webinar you guys are hosting. Perhaps it's like a trade show or something like that. Now, there are other flavors too I want you to think about. Sometimes the flavor of the email is going to be to provide evidence for them, maybe to make a change or to consider making a change, or evidence that you've got a solution that could really, really help them, right? An evidence type of email. Other times, the whole point of the email, like we said before, is to create a dialogue. Well, what's the best way to create a dialogue? You ask a question. So the whole focus, the main star of that email, is going to be a real kick-ass question that you set up. I call it a framing question, by the way, where you kind of set up the question with a statement. And the statement, many times, is something where you're citing a statistic or a case study or a fact or an industry trend, something that they actually give a shit about because they're in that world. And then you end that with a question. So if you want to increase the amount of responses that you're getting, ask more questions. So that would be a question type of email. But then there's also kind of like as part of that flavor, I guess, in a way, maybe it's just a different category. It's the tone of that email I'm thinking about. Do I want to go at you more serious with facts and figures and that evidence that we talked about? Do I want something more lighthearted, fun, and funny, that kind of stuff? So you need to think about that before you go ahead and send it. And by the way, I'm really so confident with that first tip that honestly I could kind of do a mic drop and leave. Nobody would be wowed at my brilliance with tip number one, but I can tell you, and believe me, like, you know, I'm not there with you, but without being there, I can tell you that most salespeople, they're not even doing this step. This step alone will make a difference in the emails that you're doing. Let's go on to suggestion number two of four that I have for you. The next thing that you need to think about that most people don't, and just a little by the way, I want to throw in. You guys should know by now, and those of you who are listening for the first time, you don't know this. So this is going to be the first time you heard it. But I'm in a really unique situation because, I mean, as a business owner, I am like the only employee at Castain Training Systems. So I do all the selling. So I have the unique perspective of not only being in the trenches with you guys, but I can tell you what I receive as a business owner. Now, because I've been around as a business owner for 7 years, my business has been around for a while, I get a lot. I'm on a lot of lists and a lot of people approach me. So I see what you guys are doing. Plus, being a guy who coaches many of you and who trains on a yearly basis, probably, I'm guessing conservatively, 5,000 sales reps a year with all my programs and on-site visits that I do and keynote addresses and all, I see a lot out there. So this stuff is not based on theory. This is like what I'm seeing, and this is what I'm getting as a recipient of these emails. People, you know, and this is suggestion number two. You really have to think about your subject line. The subject line is one of the very first things that people are going to look at. Now, I want to share something with you. And Constant Contact talks about this. MailChimp talks about this. You know, many of the different AWeber, which I use, a lot of the email platforms that are out there, they talk about open rates of sales-related emails and all. And right now, the like just depending on who you want to believe and everything, and they're all within like a percentage point or two at most. But right now, it looks like anywhere from 21 to 23% open rates is what is standard. So I want you to think about that for a minute. When I tell you that, let's just go with 21%. Let's just take the shittiest end of that spectrum. 21% of the emails that we send out are actually opened. Not to be like take a turn to negative town here, but that also means that 79% of the emails that we're sending out aren't even opened. And what people don't realize, like, there's a lot of marketers out there saying, yeah, but that's about stand, you know, that's about right, that's par for the course and everything. And I don't know that I agree with that. I can't accept those numbers because, quite frankly, I can't survive on those numbers and neither can you. So there are things that we can do to get people to open that email without being a sleaze and tricking them and doing some kind of like, you know, kind of like bait and switch or clickbait or whatever. So one of the things that we can do, I really believe that the first line of defense for us is the subject line. The problem with most subject lines is that it's me-centered versus recipient-centered. Let me say it again, and then I'll do some splaining. Me-centered versus recipient-centered. A me-centered email subject line would be something like, and I know a lot of you guys do this, and I really want you to stop because it's typical and it's lame, and there's nothing to entice the recipient to say, oh my God, I've got to read this. Many of you guys are putting the name of your company in the subject line. Now, this is going to shock you. Let me be, right, because I'm never brutally honest with you guys. I'm going to be brutally honest with you right now. And if by chance bad language offends you, like as if you didn't get the hint like a little earlier in the podcast that I'm not going to be like being real clean about it, now is a good time to leave, or maybe we'll do like an earmuffs moment. All right, we'll have an earmuffs moment. Nobody gives a shit about a subject line with your company name in it. Seriously, they don't. Why would they? I really want you to think about that. Why would you give a shit about an email from me in the subject line that says Castain Training Systems? Why would you? And you're somewhat familiar with me. You're listening to my podcast. Many of you bump into me over on LinkedIn. You read my blog. You know who I am. And I'm here to say that even you guys, you get something like that, you might be like, who cares? I would even go as far as to say, only after I ask my ego to leave the room would I say this, that even my clients, people who are buying from me, what would they give a shit about an email that's Castain Training Systems? Like, okay, who cares, right? So that's one of them. Sometimes we see things like people think they're being very clever with this one, but I'm telling you, as a recipient, I get a lot of these, where they'll put their name and the other company name. So instead of Castain Training Systems, now you're getting a nicer dress piece of shit. You're getting something that says Castain Training Systems and Acme. Castain Training Systems and the ABC Company, right? I mean, seriously, like, let's yawn together on that one. There is nothing to make you say, I'm going to open this email. I've got time for this shit, right? They don't. So you're losing them at the subject line. The final example that I'll give you is when we focus on our products, our services, our programs. So what if you receive one from me that said, Paul Castain's Summer Sales Camp? Now, you're a sales rep. And yeah, I mean, you might be interested in sales training or whatever it is, but of all the emails that you're getting, and the average person is sending 121 per day, that's average. That's not decision maker. That's not C-level. That's not business owner. That's average. That's like, you know, like just regular folks. 121 a day. Getting something from someone that talks like in the subject line about them and their product and their service, there's not enough to entice you. So, you know, what about making it about them? So we're going to kind of flip-flop it now. And instead of making it about you, you always lead with something about them, starting with the subject line because that's your first line of defense. So what if you, like, noticed, and this is where the pre-call planning research comes in, that let's just say you're in marketing, right? And maybe, you know, we have a lot of, I have all kinds of industries that listen to this, but let's talk about my friends in the printing industry. You're in the printing industry and you did some research and you noticed that this one company you've been trying to get in front of just did a complete overhaul of their website. So what if then the subject line becomes about them? And you include their name, and we're trying to get in touch with John here, and we put in the subject line, nice job on the new website, John, right? That is totally about them. It's feeding John's ego. It, you know, what we forget about our names. In fact, Dale Carnegie used to say that the sweetest sound in any language is the sound of one's own name. Now, that was a really eloquent way that Dale Carnegie basically said that from the time we were born, we were taught to respond to the sound of our own name. Isn't that true? I mean, as early as you can remember, you were taught to respond to that. And so when we use one's name in the subject line, we don't have to do it every time. That's something too. You don't want to overkill these ideas. You want to mix it up. So using their name is going to get their attention. So that's one way you can do a better subject line. Nice job on the new website, John. But what about now, like, we have something with Mary, which makes me think about What About Mary? I don't know why, but now I'm thinking about that damn movie, and now I got to watch it. So what about, you know, we do some research, and we see that there's something that we can congratulate Mary on. So in the subject line, we put, congrats, Mary. Quick question. Congrats, Mary. Quick question. So one of the little tips that I have for you, actually, I'll give you two. One of them I told you already. One of them I have. The first tip, remember what I said. It has to be centered on the recipient instead of centered around you. But also, the point of a subject line is to make them hungry, not feed them. So when I say make them hungry, think potato chip. Think about, like, make them hungry to want to open that email without being deceptive. Now, when I said quick question, if Mary's like me, if somebody's being nice, they're being courteous, they obviously know that you did their homework if they're congratulating me on something, right? Because, you know, they're obviously not going to be full of shit here. And they start off with congratulations, and they're talking about my favorite subject in the world, which is me. And I would venture to say your favorite subject in the whole world is you. So they're starting off with that. And then they have a quick question. I'm like, well, whatever could they be asking me, man? Let me check it out. And I open up the email. And they get to be heard out. Isn't that awesome? Don't you feel that when people hear you out, you have a higher probability of gaining a little momentum in this courtship? And don't answer that question, because, like, how, like, effed up would that be? If you're there, you're talking at your computer. Come on, man, use your head. But anyway, so the subject line is the second thing that you need to think about. The third thing that you need to think about is the preview text. Because remember we said before that about 79% of the emails that we're sending out that are sales related aren't even opened. It's because they're seeing a really shitty subject line that doesn't interest them. But now the preview text basically tells them, hey, don't read this. Seriously, so let me just tell you, the preview text, for those of you who don't know what that is, if you go in your inbox right now, hopefully you're not driving and doing this, if you go in your inbox right now, the preview text, it shows up in your inbox, and it's like, say you have an email there from me, and the subject line is whatever. Right below the subject line is just a little snippet of what that email says. And there's all different amounts of characters that could be shown depending on what kind of computer, desktop versus mobile. I mean, there's a lot of things that affect it. But a safe guide would be, if you know that, just to kind of plan this, anywhere from 40 characters, I think I've heard to like 140 characters, could show up in the preview text. So if in the beginning of your email, if you don't get them, and that shows up in the preview text, which it is, if it's just something lame, and I'm going to define lame in a minute, because I was even doing this shit like the wrong way not too long ago, and I've really changed my ways, and I'm experiencing much better results now. So if they look at that preview text, and you're starting off in a way that just puts them to sleep, why would they ever open the email? I mean, haven't you done that too? I think we all do that because we get so many emails, we send and receive so many on a daily basis. We look in the inbox, we see who it's from, we look at the subject line, you look at that little like preview text, and you see something that just is putting you to sleep. Next, you're going to delete it or whatever, especially it's not even somebody, like, who the hell is this Castain guy emailing me? So what I would recommend that you do in the preview text to get their attention. Well, first of all, let's talk about what not to do. It's the same advice I gave you with the subject line stuff. If you lead with something about you, I promise you, you're going to sound like another Me Too rep. You're going to sound like everybody else. And you're going to fail a very important test. You know what the important test is? The who gives a shit test. Seriously, if you're going to lead with you, if you're going to start off, which I don't understand how or why people start off this way, where it's like, you know, hi, Jim, my name is Paul Castain, and I'm with Castain Training Systems, and we're a full service blah, blah, effing blah. First of all, I find it a little bit awkward that you would be it, like saying who your name is in an email. Like, you don't think that person didn't see who it was from? I don't open anything from anyone without seeing who the hell it's from. Seriously, because it might be a family member sending me one of those shitty emails about butterflies or something that if I don't forward it to people, I'm going to die in the next 10 minutes or, like, you know, get my balls cut off in a turbine or something because I didn't pass it along. It's like, why do you put this evil on me? So that's why I look at the name. But seriously, people look at the name in the email. So, like, going through that to me is a waste of breath, and it's just dickish. It's just like, oh, come on, are you kidding me? Like, why are you doing that? So, the average email begins with focus, again, me-centered instead of recipient-centered. So, what you're better off doing is going back to that pre-call planning research and using something that you found during that 3x3 rule, something that you can leverage. And I'm not going to go into it right now, but and I actually go through it in the course that we have coming up and all my other courses. I always talk about this. But one of the things I'm looking for when I'm researching are trigger events, like things that are going on in their world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing what I offer, right? That's what I'm looking for. So provided I found a trigger that I can leverage. Like, and by the way, I gave you guys an example before. If you're a printer, right? I mean, this could be, you know, any industry, by the way, but I'm using printing as an example. If you're a printer and you notice that somebody just did an overhaul of their website, chances are that they may need you as far as the rest of their marketing materials and their collateral. So that could be a trigger event. Wow, they've just done this. They have the budget for this. Maybe, you know, if they haven't done something already, I should be talking to them about their collateral or direct mail, whatever the hell, right? There's other things that could be done. But you guys have them too. That's not the only trigger that's out there. So when we find something about them or perhaps even their industry, maybe something about their competitors or whatever, then we want to lead with that. So the way that we lead with that is a really cool phrase that I have been teaching here on this podcast for over a year, and you guys get to hear it again. And by the way, if you're rolling your eyes at me right now, say, oh my God, he's going to say that shit again, or whatever it is. Well, you know what? If you're not doing what I told you here, who gives a shit how many times I say it to you? I mean, seriously, maybe today's the day you're going to stop telling me you heard it and you actually do it or whatever. And some of you might have said, oh, that sells 101. No, it isn't if you're not doing it. Again, who cares if it's basic? You got to do it. So the line that I recommend, the thing that it's a fill-in-the-blank phrase I recommend that you use at the beginning of your emails. And it's very simply, after you do the greeting, you say, I noticed that. And you tell them what you noticed. So in the case of that website, I noticed that. You guys just redid your website. I might then go on, great job. And then I go on with the rest of the email. See, the way to get somebody's attention is to lead with them. They're their own favorite subject. Their company is their own favorite subject. Their world, their industry, their competitors. That's the stuff that they care about more than you. Plus, you win points because you don't sound like everybody else. And one other thing that I want to just mention that will show up in the preview text. And this is something that is like cutting edge for me, because I haven't even fully researched this, and I just want to tell you what I've been experiencing with it, so you're getting an idea that is about as fresh as they get. One of the things that I noticed is that when I get emails and text messages that greet me in a more familiar way, I have a higher probability of opening it and reading it. So let me say it again, and then I'm going to give you an example. When I get emails or text messages that address me in a more familiar way, there's a higher probability that I'm going to open that text message or that email. And what's that familiar way? It's quite simply, hey, Paul. Seriously, it's hey, Paul. And I find I open it. Like very, very, like just about all the time. And this whole thing came up. It was so funny because we ever like experiencing something or thinking something and you didn't say it, and then you're hanging out with some people and somebody said, and you're like, oh my God, I was just thinking that. Like, so like almost like eerie, right? And I was hanging out having a cigar with a buddy of mine, and I obviously can't say any names here when you hear why, plus it'd just be kind of dickish thing. My friend, and you know, who lives at this address or whatever, but the guy's looking for a job, and he is on like one of these websites that like part of the thing is that they'll text message him with like job opportunities that they come across that might be a match. And you know, this is all done with artificial intelligence, by the way, which is awesome. And he said to me, oh, damn, I fell for it again. I go, what do you mean, right? And he said, well, you know, I just opened this thing because it said, hey, and his name. And, you know, when I see that, I think it's like one of my buddies like you or something. I'm like, well, how the F could it be me, man? I'm right here having a cigar with you, and you got your nose in that damn phone. Hang your head, bitch. No, but seriously. I mean, you know, like having that familiar tone could make a difference. And there's some of you that's, oh, that's too informal. You know, I don't know. I think the world has become a bit more informal. I mean, certainly more than when I started in sales. So I don't think we're proposing anything horrible here. I mean, we're not getting like so familiar with them. I mean, all we're saying is, hey, Paul. I mean, we're not like sneaking into the house, climbing into their bed, and then, you know, waking up, hey, I want to tell you something. I got shit to sell you in the middle of the night. We're not talking about that. Or like, you know, going into their house and making yourself a sandwich and waiting for them to come home and giving them a sales pitch. We're just talking about using the word hey here. So that might be something that you might want to consider. So the preview text could make a big difference. The final thing, this one is like, it's huge. And it could be even hugerer, right? Being funny. But the length of your email is something you should be thinking about. Because one thing we know is that once people do open the email, right? If we're lucky enough to be in that 21% that actually opens the email, they're going to scan it. And I think one of the first things that people are going to do at a glance is see if they're looking at War and Peace here, if some lengthy email. And I thought about that because I just read a study from Constant Contact on this one, by the way, which I'll share with you. But I started thinking about that, and I said, you know what? This is really so spot on, at least for me, because when I look at an email and I see that it's really, really lengthy, I put it aside for later, and then there just is no later. I just forget. I have great intentions, but there's just so many, it just kind of goes into email limbo. And I just, like, I have neither, like, confirmed or denied, you know, my need to want to keep in touch with them. It's just like they're there hanging out in cyberspace. It's kind of like the aisle of misfit effing emails that they go to. It's like I just forget about them and I disregard them. So Constant Contact did this study about the ideal length of an email. And here's what they found. They found that ideally you want to be at 200 words or less. Ideally, you want to be at 200 words or less. Now, again, I think when people look at an email that looks, it seems to be too lengthy, it could discourage them from like reading on. So I think that could be a big help to you. One other thing that I want to point out, and then we're going to wrap up this party. There is an email kind of philosophy that both Daniel Pink and Guy Kawasaki have been talking about for years. I know Daniel Pink talked about it several times, I believe, in that book that he put out. What was it? To Sell as Human, I think it was. And he was talking about this need for a shorter email. Now, I don't know who said what, but basically, whether it was Daniel Pink or Guy Kawasaki, one person said, ideally, 3 sentences. The other one said 5 sentences. So I'm putting it out like this because I just don't have the time to research this shit. I don't really care who said what and when, whatever. Unless we're having a bar bet here and I get to like throw it in your face for like the rest of time and you buy me like a drink or something like that. But other than that, they basically are saying 3 to 5 sentences. Now, that could be an interesting variation of the 200 word thing. Maybe every once in a while, you go 3 to 5 sentences. In fact, you know, here's what I think should be done. We should try to keep our emails under 200 words because we don't want to fail that visual scan. People kind of eyeball the email. Is this going to take me a long time to read? Because I got a lot of things going on. I don't have a lot of time for this. So we want it to pass that visual, like, eyeball, right? That eyeball scan that they're going to do. But on the other hand, if we wanted to every once in a while break up the emails, remember we were talking about flavors of emails before. I think sometimes we can vary the flavor by doing something short and sweet. And to me, this kind of goes back to what I was saying as like offering as a tactic in the subject line. We don't want to feed them. We want to make them hungry. So here's what I want to put out to you as a bit of a challenge. We're not saying do it all the time, 3 to 5 sentences. But in what ways could you sneak in or put in a 3 to 5 sentence email to make them hungry for more, to entice them, to kind of play around a little bit with that human like curiosity that we all have, or maybe that need that the brain has to resolve something and not have a mystery? The brain has a love-hate relationship with mysteries, in case you didn't realize it. We have a love-hate relationship with mysteries because on one hand, it draws us in. It really intrigues us. And we want to just like resolve it. But on the other hand, right? I mean, I don't even know what the other hand is. But, you know, like maybe I should have thought about that before I went there. And as always, I'm not going to edit it out. So whatever, it's just trust me. It's a love-hate type of thing. Uncle Paul said so, that's it. Or as my dad used to say, end of discussion, right? Anyway, get me started on that. So there you have it, folks. I mean, we have 4 things that you're probably not thinking about that you really should be doing that could dramatically impact the success or failure of your email. We talked about pre-call planning, both the research as well as the objective, and we talked about the flavors and things like that. We talked about the subject line, me-centered versus recipient-centered. I told you about some really crappy type of emails, like subject lines that people are doing, And I propose some better ones. Again, based on step number one, the pre-call planning research. We talked about like using their name in the subject line. Not every time. You don't do it every single time. That's like, you know, it has the appearance that you learn like one sales trick, and that's all you know, and that's all you're going to do forever. Just use their name. It's like, come on. It's like kind of like, could you imagine if the Karate Kid used that same shitty, like, move that he used in the first Karate Kid to take out that guy? Like, I mean, like, seriously, like, you know he kicked the guy's ass by doing, what was it, that crane position thing or whatever, and he jumps up and snap kicks that other kid in the face and drops him. If he goes into it a second time, I think somebody's going to kick his ass. It's like they see it coming. So don't be the Karate Kid is what I'm saying. Be Mr. Miyagi. And we talked about the preview text. Think about that. And you can even practice with it by when you come up with kind of an email template that you're going to use, send it to yourself. Look at how much of it shows up in the preview text. And is it like cutting off just right at the right moment where we're making them hungry for more? We talked about, as part of that preview text, you really have to, again, lead with something about them instead of something about you. We talked about that. We talked about the like a more familiar greeting, like, hey, Mary, hey, Paul, that type of thing. Last but not least, we talked about the length of the email. Ideally, 200 words or less. I offered a variation in there that, you know, maybe a 3 to 5 sentence email to consider. I'm hoping that'll keep you guys out of trouble, at least until next week's edition of the Sales Playbook Podcast. Before you go, I just want to let you know that we have something really cool coming up, especially if you like these email tips. I was kind of giving you the throwaway tips, right? I have some really awesome premium tips that I'm going to be offering. I came up with a new program, and it's called 50 Emails and Templates to Help You Rock Your Sales. Now, what this is an overhaul of like every like email program that I've ever offered you guys. And, you know, like all the webinars and stuff, and I turbocharged the hell out of it. So let me tell you how. In the past, those of you who have taken it, a lot of you guys have, it's like right up there at the top in terms of my courses. In the past, I offered 20 templates. Now I'm going to be giving you 50 templates. Also, instead of just prospecting emails, I've included ones that you should be sending your clients. So if this is something you want to check into and you'd like to get the templates, you'd like to join us, we're going to be doing this on session one is August 9th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Session two is going to be whenever you want, because session two, I'm going to pre-record and send it to you guys, and you can go at your own pace. So if you want to learn more, you want to get these 50 sales email templates, all you have to do is visit yoursalesplaybook.com/50emails. yoursalesplaybook.com/50emails. And on that note, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at yoursalesplaybook.com.